You know, I went on a spree in 83, skiing in Switzerland, a little golf in Scotland, sailing and fishing off the coast of Mexico, swimming in Hawaii, and on my way to that city by the bay with its restaurants and ambiance, San Francisco, I decided to stop over in Duluth to catch my breath. But you know what? It took my breath away. I could have saved myself a lot of traveling. You know why? Because it's all right here. Duluth. Who loves you, baby? I do.
TBTL!
Hey, welcome to my show, everybody! I know you did pay $100, but here's $100 back to you. And after my show, I shall live in Court Sports Box House on the street because I do not understand financials and I am poverty. So enjoy my show. Boom, ta, boom, ta, boom, ta.
I have no idea what you just said, but I feel totally transformed.
Let the filibustering begin.
All right. Hello. Good morning and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show. Just might be too beautiful to live.
Intelligence for your life.
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Coming to you once again from the home offices of American Public Media, beautiful St. Paul, Minnesota, where a foot or so of snow is currently bearing down on the region and will be getting here by, I think, tomorrow and making things really, in the words of a former newscaster on this show, nasty.
Snow, and more snow, and you've got a really nasty mixture.
Luckily, I'm getting out just ahead of that. My friend Andrew Walsh is not, though. We'll talk about that coming up in the program. And other things here on episode 3077.
Let the fun begin.
In a collector series. The term OK Boomer was invoked in the chambers of the United States Supreme Court yesterday. That's right.
Oh, rude!
John Roberts, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, said, okay, boomer, and then followed it up with asking for a friend. This is a true story. This is a thing that happened, and we are going to break it down. Also, speaking of youthful phrases and things that are for the younger set, I've been obsessed with TikTok, as the listeners of the show know, and I am officially going to be stepping away from that platform.
Attention, everyone! I have an announcement to make! I am leaving this party.
I will explain why it's time for me to finally leave TikTok coming up as well. Plus, it is a Thursday, a.k.a. a Blursday. So we've got a couple of Blursday messages this week to put out there. Wish people well, all of that. So we'll do that as well. Okay, none of that can happen without the help of this guy, longest running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace, their splendor, their solitary nature. I say that because last night I was walking through the hotel and I saw him sitting at the bar. And my first thought was, I should walk up and say hi to my friend. And then I thought, no, he needs some Andy time. This is a guy who's been surrounded by peoples for days here in St. Paul. And he's probably reading a book on his phone. Whatever he's doing at the Citizen Bar, he needs to do that by himself. He is Andrew
Targus
Walsh, and he's joining me right now from just one table over, our new public radio restaurant show, as we established yesterday. Hi, good morning, welcome.
I was reading a comic book on my iPad.
Oh,
very
okay.
Close.
Yeah, I think I had the general details
even cooler.
Right. Yeah, no, it was funny because we had a work happy hour event, and then,
which was great, by the way.
Yeah, it was actually really cool.
Those are good people.
And actually, I went back to the same restaurant to get some food. I was super hungry. I tried everything non-meat related at the bar at our hotel, so I wanted to just go get something to eat. And I had noticed when we were at the happy hour at this place called The Gray Duck that they have a really swell Impossible Burger on the menu. So I went back. I got that burger. It was so good.
Oh, good.
I asked the guy, I was like, what time do you open tomorrow? I might dip in for one more Impossible Burger on my way to the airport if it can be arranged. Anyway, Andrew, more on all of that in a minute. First, though, we have to say hi to another special guest we have on the show today, our good friend, the blogger emeritus from the program, a minor regional celebrity here in the Minnesota area, our friend the Stewbot.
I know what you guys are thinking. Hey, it's the guy from Twitter. That's what you're thinking right now.
Stew joins us. Hello, my friend.
How about now?
Hello, Luke and Andrew.
Who is the engineer? Who keeps messing
who
up?
Who are the engineers who are in charge of this broadcast? Stu, hi. Welcome to the program.
I'm glad you found the gray duck. The chef there actually lives in our building down here in St. Paul. And my daughter, youngest daughter, Piper, nemesis of the show, is also a pescatarian, actually.
Okay.
So she enjoys the
only listens
of
to Mike Pesca.
Only listens to Mike Pesca and loves an Impossible Burger her own self.
And it would happen by coincidence, or maybe by fate, that Piper is actually here in the studio with us.
This is true.
Sitting over there.
You can lean over and say hi, Piper.
If we could, if we could just like animate Piper's thoughts, I do think it would be okay, boomers.
Yes.
And that would be fair. But what I like about the Impossible Burger there at Grey Duck is it's, and I didn't think I would like this. When the Impossible Burger first got attention, it was because they include a certain amount of beet juice or some plant-based thing that gives it a pink layer, a red layer in the middle of the burger. So it's, the verisimilitude of it is like crazy. And when I ate regular burgers, I didn't want it to be uncooked in the middle. That was gross to me. Mm-hmm. So I thought, like, this is not a feature that I need in my fake burger. Mm-hmm. I don't need fake blood. But they actually had that version last night, and I was kind of digging it. It was like, I could have, in a million years, I would not have been able to tell you that it wasn't a regular meat. In fact, maybe it was just a regular meat burger. Maybe they're trolling us. Is that what you've been thinking, Piper? You have the same concern. See, you know what, Piper? We have more in common than we do different. Maybe this is the beginning.
This is a summit
of a rapprochement between us. Anyway, Stu, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here, guys. I'm sorry it's so damn cold.
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful, though. I mean, that's the thing. It's blue sky. It's gorgeous. It's just very, very cold. It was like, was it 1 degree last night? I don't know what the current temp is.
It was 1 degree last night. When I woke up this morning, it was -8.
Yes. I which also is my credit score, coincidentally.
You and me both, friendo.
This morning I tried to do the thing I did yesterday where, because our hotel is like 5 blocks from the American Public Media home office. And I thought I'll walk down the street because it's beautiful outside. It's not snowing. And also because I was trying to, you know, burn off a little more sweat. Get rid of a little sweat before I got here. I don't want to gross everyone out. Had I known Piper was going to be here, I would have been even more worried about my overall condition. I did bring a dabbing rag I stole from the hotel room, which is the ultimate old guy move.
He admit it.
He have no
good
towel ideas. Anyway, but I went 1 block. I came out of our hotel, and I went not even a block. It was probably half a block, and I was clamoring for the St. Paul Athletic Club lobby so I could get to the Skyway. It took 10 steps outside for my face to completely freeze into a rictus.
Yeah, I have been walking outside. I'm not a big fan of the Skyways, no offense to...
Are you worried those street toughs are going to mess with you?
I just find them soul-crushing. I just find the Skyways to be kind of soul-crushing, and we've talked about it a little bit on the show. Some of them are like malls, and that's fine. Some of them are like half-abandoned malls, and that's less fine. Some of them are just like... We go through one room between here and our hotel that is just like an abandoned room that's been stripped. No carpet. No, it's like under construction, but you have to walk through it. And so I don't love that just as an experience. So I've been walking outside. But this morning I was like, I want no part of that. I want no part of that at all. But notice I still brought my coat because I get – even though I know there's a Skyway that I can get 4 blocks or 10 blocks – I just am nervous that something will happen that I'll find myself outside. I'll get stuck in a stairwell somewhere, and then I'll find myself having to go outside, and then I will like just die on the street after 5 minutes.
Which you would. I don't even think it would take 5 minutes. Now, do you, Stu, being a a Minnesota native, the constitution of your skin and, I don't know, are you somehow physically changed by living here to where you could walk down the street right now and it wouldn't bother you?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, okay.
No,
good.
It's awful out right now. I took the dog out to do her business this morning, and it's...
That'll freeze right in her...
Yeah, she did
that
not
even get out of her body. It'll just, I'm trying to not say bunghole so much.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah,
you know how dogs will like dilly-dally to find the perfect spot to destroy the lawn? This did not happen this morning. Sophie like got in, got out, and was back at the front door right away. So it was, it's miserable. You don't ever get used to it being this cold.
Did it make the sound of coins hitting the ground?
Jeez,
sorry. It's cold is what I'm saying.
Really needed I needed a Super Mario drop there. For
Does your dog have a jacket?
No, she does not. No. She has just a bunch of black hair.
Okay.
And she leaves laying about our apartment at all
times.
Don't
get me started on that. I I've talked about this on the show before. I spend a fair amount of time worrying about if animals are cold and we just don't know it. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about pets, although I am also thinking of pets. I'm talking about, like, cows. Has anyone checked in with them? Like, they're out there. Mm-hmm. We assume they're fine. We go, like, they have fur. But like,
I know they want us to eat more chicken.
Yeah, right.
Let's see. What do I know about cows?
They're sometimes taken up to a spaceship in a Far Side cartoon.
Right. That,
no.
That exhausts
I do. I give a lot of thought, unfortunately, like an intrusive – I have intrusive thoughts about if animals are really cold more of the time than we know, and we just don't know it. Like, they're not dying from it. It's not like it's so cold that they're going to die, but it's like cold enough that they are really uncomfortable, but they just don't have a way to communicate it to us. I don't have an answer for this, no. By the way. I'm just injecting this thought into the minds of the listeners.
Beyond health reasons, is this maybe part of the reason you switched to your vegan vegetarianism?
It's 100% why. Mm-hmm. Believe me, health reasons are at the back of the list. I've never been fatter.
He started smoking when he went vegan.
Honestly,
I ate
last night at the Grey Duck was a delicious Impossible Burger, a side order of cheese curds, and the better part of a giant pretzel.
Oh, yeah, wow. Those cheese curds are slow. We took a P. Fletch there when she was in town last time, and yeah, those cheese curds they're good.
But no, I mean I have never eaten worse in my life, other than there are fewer animals involved in the process. Speaking of animals, this is a hard transition, but the Caribou Coffee in the food court was on my last nerve this morning. It's one of those moments though that I create pretty frequently because of being perpetually late or always running a little behind, where me making bad decisions about the timing of my day has me being mad at people who I shouldn't be mad at. Mm-hmm. I roll up, not the breakup Caribou.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We learned that there's different Caribou coffees in the Skyways, and they have different uses. And one of them, there's one that's called the breakup one.
Mm-hmm. It's by the sad Arby's.
Wait, there's a not sad Arby's?
It's by the... It's by the I love you, but I'm not in love with you, Urban Gerbs. Did I get that right?
That was good. That was really great. Yes.
That took it out of me.
Yeah.
I was really trying to remember the name of that sandwich shop. But anyway, I was coming here to meet all of you, do the show. Stu, I had seen a text from you. You were in the lobby already. So I was like, it's bad form for me to get here after the special guest. Andrew had been here for hours, probably. Mm-hmm. And but I really wanted a cup of coffee. And so I'm walking past that Caribou, and I come around to, you know, sort of the corner, I guess, and there's just the longest line. Oh, no. And, of course, it's the morning time, and people work in these buildings, and everybody wants coffee. But I immediately started getting mad at everyone who was ordering something that wasn't a drip coffee.
Mm.
And then a little bit mad at the people working there, which was so unfair.
They're very sweet.
They're so sweet. But it was like every person who was ordering a very complicated drink, which was basically a milkshake. Cool. Let's just have a breakfast milkshake. Not to calorie shame anyone, but whatever. So that was kind of, I was getting bothered. And then the niceties, like people were just chatting. People were being very Minnesota, very Midwest, which, again, is all a good thing. The problem is that I should have been there 10 minutes earlier. But I was on a real, I was hot.
I know that feeling when you're in a hurry and you're just like, you just hate everybody around you. It's almost like you're looking for things to hate about them sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I'm
anyway.
With you. But you got your coffee.
I got my coffee.
You're calming down.
I am.
We're recording the show. Everything's
ready
fine.
To do this. Stu, how are you feeling about the show so far?
I'm feeling great right now. I think the asides are good. The tangents are rough and ready.
Yeah. Give it a letter grade like so far.
Definitely B+.
B+. That's good.
Sounds low, but all right. And are you on? You're on loan. Talent on loan from Surly.
Yes.
Is that because now you're? I believe last time you were on the show, you also had to sort of take a couple hours away from your real job. But your bosses saw it as worthwhile because we're getting that Surly brand
getting out
on this blowtorch that is TBTL.
Yeah. the thing is, we're talking about the weather. We actually have in two weekends, we're like doing a whole 48-hour like bar crawl across the cities. And if it's weather like this, we're absolutely terrified.
Oh, yeah, what does that look like?
It's called Furious 48. It's got like little 48 hours, little like, you know, the old Eddie Murphy, Nick Nolte thing. And mm-hmm. we just like are sponsoring a show at the entry, having a like outdoor cookout at the brewery.
But I mean, when I say what does it look like, I mean like if it's this cold.
Oh,
can you do? I mean, is it canceled?
Oh no, it's not canceled. It's just you're just bundling up, baby. You're just throwing on an extra layer, and you're like, you know, going outside for 15 seconds, and hopefully not freezing, and then going back inside and playing some pull tabs with Andrew because he'll still be here.
That's right.
Speaking of which,
attention off of you, but no, I do need to talk about my
situation. Snow, snow,
here.
And more snow.
So apparently a lot of our colleagues who are flying a different airline than me started getting tons of emails yesterday morning saying, we will rebook your flight for free because you are supposed to fly out of here on Friday and probably ain't going to happen, kiddos, because of the snowstorm that's on its way.
Very casual coming
from
United Airlines. Ain't going to happen, kiddos.
No. Yeah. Delta has been really kind of leaning into their kind of casual voice. So here's where I am on that. Somebody's like, well, I didn't get those alerts because I'm flying Alaska, or maybe because I haven't checked my work email lately. But everybody's like, well, you're going to rebook your flight. And this is where I'm just dumb. And like, this is one of my worst traits. Well, my murderous nature.
Yeah,
and
I put that higher up on the list.
That's one of them. But then also me just having a plan and not wanting to mess with it, especially when it comes to travel. Like, I'm just a lazy bones. Like, Luke, you'll rebook a flight on the same flight just for the act of rebooking
something. I've rebooked my flight today 7 times since the show started. I was legit checking the wait list for my flight. I'm just on the bubble. I'm like Creighton trying to get into the tournament. Had a good conference record, but this is just going into an NCAA.
Okay, I didn't know. Yeah, you lost me on that one. I thought you were talking about an 80s movie.
No, but there's a couple seats up there in first class, and I can't tell if I'm fourth on the list or if I might leapfrog some people. Point being, I am very I'm very much about futzing with my flights.
So you like to futz with your flights. I don't like to. Somebody write that down. Show title. I don't like to futz with my flights. But I also have a theory beyond that, and I'm rolling the dice here with this a little bit. Okay, but everybody is rebooking their flights to get out on Thursday, which means I think these Thursday afternoon and evening flights are going to be an S show. I think they're going to be crowded. I think there's going to be no extra room anywhere. I am banking on Minnesota knowing how to handle snow. The fact that it's going to be a very cold snow. I know this is all BS. I can see it in your eyes, Stu, but just let me believe what I'm going to believe. It's going to be a cold snow. It's going to be easy to clean up. They're going to actually still have flights tomorrow afternoon, and everybody was so scared of this scenario that my flight will be virtually empty. I will not only have a row to myself, but potentially an entire section of the plane to myself. That's what I'm banking on.
You may have to fly the damn thing, honestly.
I might have to just take things into my own hands. On a scale of crazy town to
butterfly,
how crazy town is my theory?
This is I can give him this 7 shifty shell shocks off a possible 10.
Okay.
It's supposed to kick in earnest around here about like late morning tomorrow. I do foresee a delay in your future, Andrew. I'm not trying to be mean, but
obviously you know so much more about this than we do, Stu. But I have to say I've been so impressed with the city of St. Paul, and because it's been snowing off and on since we've been here, and it's like I'll just look outside and it'll be snowing, and then the roads just come clear the roads. Everybody just goes about their business. Like I'm very impressed with the fact that it doesn't seem to really impede things around here, which is why I would think that they'd have a similar system worked out at the airport. But you're saying a foot of snow defeats even these hardy Minnesota sort of procedures.
Correct. It's not going to be like a foot of snow spread out over like 48 hours. It's a foot of snow coming in like 12 hours. So, I mean, if it's snowing that hard, it's hard to keep the runways clear, even if you have a whole fleet of snow plows and treatment for it. It's going to be really difficult.
It is weird. I'm looking at my work email now. I did not get those alerts because we have to all book our flight through some sort of a corporate.
Concur?
Yeah, but also there's a
I'll allow it.
Fox World Travel or something, which is like a travel firm that we book all of our stuff through. And I it was my understanding that our colleagues were getting emails from that travel firm saying that we will rebook your flights for free. But I am checking my work email now. I have not received anything. So, again, the universe was not sending me the same messages it was sending everybody else. I believe I'm above this.
But, Andrew, I mean, would it be have you ever spent the night in the airport? I don't think I even have for all the traveling that I do.
I have, but I'm not doing it this time.
So in other words, what is your exact plan for Friday? Are you going to show up at the airport and just hope it works out, or are you going to be calling and trying to like assess what the deal is?
Well, you know, I have the app, so I'll just keep an eye on things. If it starts to get delayed, I'll get a notification. I'll keep an eye on the app, and so if it ends up being that I need to that I need to stick around another night. I'll just get a hotel room. I might, if I end up being at the airport and then it gets canceled, which I think that's unlikely. I think I'll know well in advance if a 4:30 flight is going to be canceled. Then I will book a hotel room probably near the airport. Otherwise, I'll just stick around town here probably.
Will you consider sleeping at Mancini's Char House?
I will, and I have. And I will expect Mike Mancini to
give you a ride to the airport when your flight does
exactly,
come through.
Or at least set up a cot for me, certainly. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't have any – this is kind of weird for me, but I'm pretty sanguine about the whole thing. Like, I don't know why. I don't have anything else going on Saturday. Everybody assures me that certainly if my plane does get delayed or canceled, then certainly they'll be able to get me home before Sunday. That's my only thing. I got something at noon on Sunday that I got to be in Seattle for. But aside from that, I got some flexibility. I can enjoy the sights and sounds of St. Paul, Minnesota.
And Stu, can he stay with you if for some reason he needs to, if all of the hotels are booked?
Yes, because the train goes right from the airport to like a block from my apartment.
Nice. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I don't think your theory, Andrew, about tonight being a bit of a mess as everyone tries to get out ahead of the stuff is not wrong, because my flight went from being lightly attended to being crazily, like, there are no seats left on the flight.
So which doesn't bode well for your bid for first class.
Yeah, that's okay. Into every life, a little coach must fall. I'll just kick it back there. I've already reserved a cheese box, so I'm fine. I'll be living La Vida Loca back there anyway. So, all right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and then we come back. We'll talk OK Boomer. And we could also mention Ken Jennings, who is retiring. He's mic dropping, or buzzer dropping, as he's now the greatest of all time when it comes to Jeopardy. So lots of stuff to talk about. Stay with us. More TBTL coming up in just a moment.
Think I'm starting to change.
What's the name of this singer, Stu? If you can be the Piper Whisperer. This was suggested by Piper, who is off mic, I think,
intentionally. This is all lowercase, Biba Doobie.
And the song is called what?
I Wish I Was Stephen Malkmus. Is that right?
Yes. You can hear it there in the beginning,
you can.
Too.
You definitely can. I love this.
Yeah, this is good. Way good. Actually, reminds me, there's a band out of L.A. called The Like a long time ago that I was very into.
Is that the one that had the woman from The State in it? Carrie Kinney?
Possibly.
She was definitely in a band, I think, and that might have been it.
Yeah. Reminds me. Maybe that'll be, you know what, is it going to be weird if I suggest this for my music for your weekend, which is tomorrow's episode?
You're just come back to this exact
song. Yeah,
why
not?
Right now? Sure, you can do whatever
you
want.
You know what, I think I'm actually going to, I'm changing my, possibly, note to self, tomorrow, The Like, music for your weekend. Okay. Hi, welcome back to TBTL, everybody. You all know that, you've been listening.
Where are you right now? Be with me.
No. The problem is that of the various things I work on, this is the only one that's exclusively a pod product.
So you don't need to do a return.
There are no need to do resets. Everyone's been listening the whole time. If this were Livewire, it would be a thing I would have to say when we came back from the break, but we don't need to say that here.
Can we thank Alaska Airlines anyway, though?
I'm going to thank them if somehow I leapfrog this one couple. Let's just do it. Andrew,
this is where you are.
You done it. Jay Gurr. Oh, you know what? My theory is out the window. Okay, this is going to get extremely, extremely quiet and extremely specific and extremely boring. There are two seats that are left in first class. I am not even close to – I'm number four on the list. There were two people that are the first and second position on the list. I thought they were a couple because their last name, Stu, you can see this. They each have the first letter J, and then their last name is
Grr.
Is the exact same thing, but just spelled slightly differently.
Oh.
So I had cooked up this theory that they were a couple that was together, but that maybe they wouldn't actually like upgrade both of them because I don't know what the rules are, but you know, if one person has the status and the other person is just traveling with them, it might not be quite as much of a slam dunk. This was hopeful. This was really magical thinking on my part that even though I am not even I'm not high enough on the list to get on into first class, maybe there's some weird quirk where I'm going to leapfrog these people.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm looking at the and they're not even related. They don't even have the same last name. So I'm just legit fourth on the list for a thing that has two seats. So.
Yet your theories and hopes for your flight are still less crazy town butterfly than my regular coach flight tomorrow.
Hey, speaking of which, let's say thanks and a little attaboy to listener JoJo who put that Bart Simpson thing together.
Yes, thank
you. We played that on the show the other day. We couldn't remember who had done it, and JoJo reminded us that he put together the Bart Simpson Crazy Town mashup.
And I had forgotten that we played that for Serengeti during our live show in Chicago, and he said that remains one of his, I think, highest musical accomplishments.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do some top stories.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Update from the U.S. Supreme Court, where there was a case that was being heard over age discrimination. The case revolved around the idea that an employee was denied promotions and pay increases because of their age, and it got all the way up to the Supreme Court, and Justice John Roberts was trying to sort of wrap his mind around what did and did not constitute age discrimination. And he said to the attorney who was, I believe, the attorney's name, Roman Martinez, who I'm not sure if Roman Martinez was standing up on the side of the person who was suing or the people being sued. But Justice Roberts said, What if someone were to say, okay, boomer, to me? Is that actionable? And then later on, and then everyone laughed, and then later he said, asking for a friend.
Did he actually say that? Because the article I read was the Washington Post being very cute about it, and they said, in a situation like this, he could have followed it up with that. Here's the actual quote from the Washington Post.
So that I happened to read this being morning. Cute?
Yeah, I got to say.
That was Reese Thibault being cute? Because,
Reese.
And I got to say, because
Reese.
I happened on this article myself this morning.
Oh, stop bragging.
And I love using the word happened as a verb.
I occasioned upon this article in the Post of Washington.
And I really thought it's an interesting story, but the writing, again, I mean, I know I was getting a little bit of, I guess, teased on, or I disappointed some listeners I've heard because I was... because I was slagging on
Alexis Petrie.
Yes, Alexis Petrie. Because I didn't like that Onion style parody article that she had written, and then this though is another example of the Washington Post taking an interesting story, but like burying all the interesting parts and underneath way too clever of writing. Here's the quote. If the query hadn't been an earnest attempt to test the bounds of a lawyer's legal argument, Chief Justice John Roberts Jr. might have followed it up with another viral expression, asking for a friend.
Wow.
A self-consciously ironic phrase often uttered when an inquisitor is very obviously not asking for a friend.
Wow. This is now the probably second or third time in about 2 weeks where we have been pointing out how kind of cheeky the Washington Post is getting.
Yeah, and that's like
the thing we liked was there was an article about vultures throwing up on their legs to kill. Did you know this, Piper? They're not going to teach you this at Fame School, so you got to learn it here in the mean streets of American public
media.
Better
that you learn it here.
There's a radio tower in Texas that's used by Border Patrol. So strike one, as far as I'm concerned, because screw those guys. But anyway, it was not working because there were vultures that were landing on it, and vultures, they vomit this terrible-smelling, gross, acidic vomit onto their own legs to kill a bacteria that grows on their legs, but then it's going all over the tower.
Yeah.
And then the tower wasn't working because it like eats through the metal. So we were talking about that, but what was great was at the end of this article, the reporter wrote, "The vultures did not respond to a request for comment," which is a pretty jokey.
Yeah, that's, I don't mind throwing.
No, that one was
kicker.
Good.
Yeah,
that one was good. But
that's at the end of the article after they gave us a whole bunch of interesting information. That thing I just read to you is literally the second graph. Frankly, it's the second sentence that never ends.
It confused me,
media professional.
Exactly. Who is trusted and respected by the listeners of this show. It caused me to make a statement concerning Chief Justice John Roberts that was, in fact, not accurate.
Again, not to just this is the last thing. It's just such a waste of words so early in a story. I don't know why.
I don't know if we want to get in on the arguing about who's wasting what words.
No, that's a good point.
Steve Nelson online, too.
But I just think that there's some interesting stuff about this case and about age discrimination, but they just wanted to focus so hardcore on, oh, my gosh, this is something that people say. And then they just start inventing. They start inventing things in the second graph right. that the Chief Justice could have said if he was being cheeky.
He had a look in his eye that we could only read to be, respect the drip, Karen.
TLDR, hashtag yeah. drama.
Yeah, exactly. He came back from lunch, and he didn't say it, but he seemed to have a thing that was going, I'm just vibing.
he was a mood.
Yeah. So speaking of things like TikTok, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I've been obsessed with TikTok for the last like month or so, and I have had this, I was talking about this with you, Andrew, the other day, but something has, and I know, Piper, you're not really on TikTok. You see the stuff as it burbles up. Stubot, are you familiar with the platform?
Only when Piper retweets something that I see. That's the only time I really investigate it.
I mean, the story of me getting into TikTok really is because so much of the stuff I was seeing on Twitter or things even that were making their way onto our show by virtue of being kind of, you know, internet memes or whatever, so much of it had this TikTok watermark on it. So much of it was starting out on TikTok that I just thought, well, let me go see the origins of this. In fact, one time we played this video that we were so confused by. We thought that it was somebody at a Panera who was like cooking the Panera mac and cheese, which it comes in a bag, right? Mm-hmm. And they were playing this sound.
No.
And I think we did the first time we talked about it, I probably did the whole thing thinking that somebody was making this laughter as they were walking this bag of mac and cheese from the freezer into the fryer. Like, not understanding that...
I think your original theory was that whoever edited this and posted it recorded themselves laughing and saying no
right.
over top of it. Yeah.
So I had no idea that this was just a meme where people just put that guy, that sound effect mm-hmm. under all kinds of different things.
Have we determined the origin of the sound effect?
It went viral, I want to say like 5 or more years
ago.
It's
like, look at this dude.
From some sort of a burn website, burn video. Yeah.
So anyway, I started kind of like getting more into the world of TikTok, then became totally obsessed with it. And one of the things I've loved about it is how creative it is, how iterative it is. There will be a joke or a dance or something, and then you will see almost in real time over the course of an afternoon it start to evolve where like it's a certain piece of tape and someone's doing a lip sync, lip dub over it. And then other people start building on the joke and they'll do it slightly differently. And then it is a very meta website.
And if you don't mind me jumping in, not to be super high minded about this, but I didn't get into TikTok like you did. But when you describe it that way, it's interesting because going back to like the very beginning of humans making some sort of an art, like it evolved, only it would take years and years and years, like oral tradition and stuff like that. And so to see that happen in just like incredibly fast time is actually pretty fascinating.
Yes, it really is. And it's the kind of thing, it's only able to evolve as quickly because of how many people are involved and how connected we all are. So that was great for a while. It has now evolved into a place where it is mostly Piper earmuffs. The current main thing going on TikTok is young women lip syncing and dancing to extremely explicit songs. Very, I mean, like I already kind of know the beginning of this one particular one, which I will spare the listeners me directly quoting because it's wildly inappropriate. But that used to be like 1 out of every 10 videos, and I would be like, well, that's not for me. And now it's like, in the last 3 days, it's gone from being 1 out of 10 videos to 8 out of every 10 videos. And there's just one particular song, which, again, I can't even allude to it. It's so incredibly sexual.
It's a song inviting young men to do certain things to young women.
They're not being coy about it. And I would say this is 100% the right of these women to express themselves however they feel. it is not a thing I need to be seeing in 8 out of 10 videos as a 43-year-old dad type.
Let the eagles soar.
It's like such a bummer to me, though, because it's like I did not start looking at this website to be a creeper at all. There's so much funny, interesting stuff on there, but this one particular song has – and this one particular – like it starts with a woman saying something, and so the – particularly women will be like just talking into the camera, and then it goes into a song, and the song is, believe me, equally dirty, and then they do a whole dance to that. Like, now that's just most of what I'm seeing, and I'm just trying to next it as fast as possible. There's probably some way I could maybe don't show me that, but I don't know even what the I don't even know how that algorithm would work,
or not even to filter, but it just sounds like and again, I've been on it. I have it on my phone. I just have never spent a lot of time on it. But it sounds like it's different than the other social media sites we're used to, where we're choosing what we want to follow. In some way, we're curating it. Facebook, it's your friends. Twitter, it's the people that entertain you. Like, you have a million different paths you can take, and you curate your own experience. Where it sounds like with TikTok, or at least the way you use it, is that it's more like turning on the TV and just seeing what it's got to offer. And
or just
kind
of fire hose coming right at you.
Yeah. Is that true, Luke?
Well, yeah, because I don't think I even have an account. Maybe I have. I've never posted anything, nor would I. But I guess I maybe have an account to like look at it.
I think you had to.
So the setup I have, though, is just what's the most popular stuff.
Yeah.
Because the funny part is, generally, if something has 200,000 likes or something, it is going to be more interesting than something that has zero likes. And you'll see that for whatever reason. I'll be scrolling through, and then it'll just hit on something that has like 4 likes. And it's usually bad. It's usually just somebody in a room. Well, it's like this show, but on TikTok. Mm-hmm. That's what it tends to sort of look like. So I'm just seeing whatever has already been kind of very popular in the culture of TikTok. And that's usually the good stuff.
Yeah.
But what is popular in the culture of TikTok currently is a extremely sexually charged song and dance that is primarily performed by 17-year-old girls.
But you said that the seasons change pretty quickly too. So this
I gotta wait for spring to end. Yeah. Whatever season we're on, because it is. I am feeling. It started when I was on the airplane looking at it, like waiting for the plane to take off, coming from Chicago here, and I was just there's people around, and I'm like nexting it because I'm like, this looks like I'm just trying to watch young women dance seductively. And I was like, okay. I'm just like, oh my God, this is every single video.
So it's not just the audio. That was my main takeaway when you were telling me about this, that like the song itself is just so blatant and sexual, but also the dance that
goes
along with it.
Yeah, a lot of the dances are there. I mean, everyone has clothing on. I'm sure that's one of the big rules about TikTok, but it's just that, I didn't realize it was maybe not a great look until I was around other people, thinking about what they're seeing on my screen and realizing how much of it is just teenage girls dancing and generally dancing in a pretty seductive way.
So what are you going to replace it with?
The most recent videos I've seen have been of men shooting cans of hard seltzer with a gun and then drinking the remains of the can and then yelling, no laws when there's claws, or no rulies when there's trulies. This is not a joke. Oh, I am not kidding about
this. Is that on TalkTick?
Wait,
I'll download that app.
There's a Twitter account called Worst Beer Blog, and it's I follow it for industry stuff, but they also have just been following the hard seltzer craze, and this is an adjunct of the hard seltzer craze.
Yeah, hey, what's going on? We're surly on that trend.
We are not on the trend at all. There's
really?
Just, it's just not a thing for
Bud
us.
Bud Light is.
Bud Light and Corona are both coming out, which is probably too. It's basically sugar water. So it's really hard to differentiate yourself as a craft brand from a macro brand. And the macro brand is going to sell that sugar water about $5 a six or cheaper.
You
can sort of see the writing on the wall for a brand like us to try to enter.
One of those Seltzer Pennsylvania ads that Bud Light is running would be the surly marketing budget for a year.
Oh, God, yeah.
What do you think of those ads, Andrew?
Is that the one where – I've only seen
the mayor.
One. It's very confusing.
To me, it strikes me as very – Parks and Rec. Have you seen these commercials too?
I have, yes.
Yeah, it's like a kind of a small town mayor, and he's got this kind of, sidekick who's sort of, everybody's pretty awkward, and then they're, but the commercial's kind of a mess to me because I know what they're trying to say. Like, they're trying to win Bud Light fans and also people who don't like Bud Light, which is a tough, this is a tough challenge, right?
Yeah, and you're trying to, that White Claw is like the Bigfoot of the market. They're like 75% of it or something, so they're just trying to peel off a chunk of that 75% to justify that.
But then they're saying if you like Bud Light, You'll love whatever it's called, seltzer. And if you don't like it, you'll also like it. And then he says, like, you know, any questions or whatever. And then there's a phone number you can call. There's like a phone bank. And I think you can
call a phone number
at the end.
Mm-hmm. Not unlike OK Soda, which we talked about.
OK Boomer.
OK Boomer Soda. Wait, oh, that's what John Rogers said. All right. John Roberts. Sorry, I said Rogers.
I'm Randy Diaz, mayor of Seltzer, Pennsylvania. If you love Bud Light like me, you'll love Bud Light Seltzer. It's a hard seltzer from Bud Light. It comes in four flavors and tastes great. Bud Light Seltzer. It's unquestionably good. If you don't love Bud Light, you'll love Bud Light Seltzer. It's not Bud Light. It's hard seltzer. It comes in four flavors and tastes great. Bud Light Seltzer. It's unquestionably good. Questions? Call us now.
Yes, I just find it very confusing. So he starts off in his office, then he walks out, then he's in a phone bank area. I guess is that like supposed to be his campaign headquarters? He's doing this thing where they're having the two messages at once. You'll love it if you don't like Bud Light, if you do like Bud Light. I just don't get it. I'm not going to lie. Honestly, the commercial might be great, and I'm just dumb.
Yeah, I don't. It's weird to me that obviously, a huge advertising agency was paid a lot of money, and that's what they came up with, and that's what Bud Light approved.
Yeah. So you agree.
Are we getting you in trouble with your surly bosses, Stu, in that we're now talking about a competing beer brand?
We're all kind of shitting on it, so it's absolutely perfect for me.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ken Jennings is retiring from competitive Jeopardy playing because he says that he is basically. He can't believe that he won this greatest of all time tournament, and he feels like he's slipping already. Mm-hmm. And he just, like, I love this guy so much, even though he's not returning my messages right now because he's busy, like, talking to the Washington Post and being cool and a millionaire. But he says that was the end for him because he cannot top that. And also, he said he noticed that he's getting slower on the buzzer. He's not even as good as he was. Back mm-hmm. when he had his first big run.
I noticed that during the competitions that, you know, he was really, like, you know, gesturing with that thing. So, yeah, I could buy that as an explanation.
Hmm. Genevieve's having dinner with his wife tonight, by the way. I mean, at a dinner party. She's part of some, like, dinner club thing where they make international foods and different people host it. And
oh, so it's at your place, but you're not hosting it.
It's not at our place.
Okay.
Speaking of which, the Twitter feud, in quotes, between James Holzhauer and Ken Jennings was pretty lovely.
Yeah.
After the first loss, Holzhauer tweeted at Ken Jen, "My wife is going to make me role play as Ken Jennings tonight." And Jennings' response was, "It's all about timing on the button."
I saw that.
That's a good spoof.
Bye, Piper.
You bring your kid to the sausage factory, Stubot. She's going to learn about TikTok. Hey, by the way, call the end of that conversation is, can you, the listeners who are still on TikTok, let me know when it's no longer, let me know when it's not just teenage girls rapping very, very suggestive things. Because I'd love to come back to the platform, mm-hmm. but for now I can't in good conscience.
Or if there's like a sub-platform in there somewhere that... Because I don't know if everybody watches it the same way you do.
Bring Vine back.
I'm saying I literally don't know.
Bring Vine
back.
Yeah,
why did Vine fail and TikTok is so hot?
I don't know.
What's your theory,
Twitter?
Piper?
Do you have a theory, Piper?
Twitter bought Vine.
Twitter bought Vine.
And then Twitter killed Vine,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, because TikTok used to be something called, what was it?
Musical.ly.
That's like a Chinese company.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's right. I did know that. There were, like, recently there were articles about how, like, the U.S. military is telling people, like, there's still a Chinese connection, so don't put TikTok in any of your company phones or your, you know, work phones or whatever. Did you happen to read that?
Are you sure that wasn't about a slightly different company?
No,
there was another story that we kept getting sent.
That was TikTok. That was TikTok. But then there was a follow-up. It was TikTok. And the woman who's in charge of TikTok America was out there really trying to do her best to say, like, listen, none of the stuff that you Americans are doing are on our servers in China. It's separate. Like, TikTok America is separate. You don't have to worry about the Chinese government. But the U.S. government and the branches of the military are telling their employees, they're blocking them from downloading it onto their phones, which doesn't seem that strict to me because, frankly, like APM, our company, like if you put like your email on your phone here, they'd block access to a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting story, Walsh.
All right, Stu, you need to escort Piper out of here.
Yeah, I got to get her back out into the frozen tundra
and also
her school.
Take her through the scary skyway.
Through the scary skyway that stays indoors, yes.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you, that's some rough customers in that scary skyway. All right, well, thanks for being here. Quickly, on the way out, how are you feeling about your twins?
I love the signing of Josh Donaldson, but they still
biggest
need
free agent contract they've ever signed?
Yes, by like $40 million. But they still need more pitching. They need more pitching.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it.
And then Sanu, too, right? They locked him down.
They extended Sanu, and they tried to get a lot of different free agent pitchers in here, but they just were unsuccessful. I think they will.
Are they bringing Dobnak back?
Dobnak will be back, actually. He'll be in the mix probably.
The Knack is back?
Yeah, if he can get off from Uber or Lyft or wherever he's working.
I follow that guy. Speaking, you know what? I'm going to. All the time I'm not spending on TikTok, I'm going to spend on Randy Dobnak's Twitter page, which is wonderful. I love him
so much. He's really good.
So I really hope that – I mean, do they think he's going to make the team?
I think so because one of their starters is on a substance suspension for the first – Pineda, former Seattle Mariners.
Oh, sure.
And I believe he's in the running for that number five spot for at least the first 6 weeks.
Okay. We stand Dobnak on this show.
Are you also taking care of our dear Nelly?
Well, Steve Nelson?
Nelson Cruz, isn't he a twin?
Well, I'm taking care of both Steve Nelson and Nelson Cruz,
yes. Good, yeah. Good, yes.
I don't think also we've ever called him our dear Nelly.
But I think we're starting now.
A lot of stuff has changed
this
week.
Oh, dear Nelly, with your vaguely Amish facial hair. I feel like Nelson Cruz's his chin strap, his beard decision, he could fit right in somewhere in rural Pennsylvania.
Yeah, absolutely.
With the Hutterites or something. All right. Stu, thanks for being here. Well, if people want to find out what you're up to, where should they go besides the Surly Brewing website?
Surly Brewing. Rand Balls Stew on Twitter. I also still record the Sportive Podcast, which you can find on Twitter as well. It is a Minnesota sports podcast, which was really happy for a while, and now it's sad again.
Oh, well, good luck. At least, I promise you, the Twins are going to be more interesting than the Mariners this year.
They probably will be, but we'll see how that goes.
Piper, thanks for being here.
Hi, Piper.
At Fame School. Have fun dancing for 4 hours as you leave. All right. See you guys.
Bye, guys. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I got to say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul. Just remember that life is number one. You can be having so much fun. Just remember that life is much fun. You can be number one.
So rare that I get to see this in person. You guys, as soon as this music started playing, I saw Luke take out his red sound machine.
I unholstered it.
And he started studying it very carefully. Yeah. You really got into your pre-Blur's Day mode. You need to center yourself to come up with a plan, make sure all the buttons are where you think they are.
Yeah.
I love it. I respect the game
and the drip player. Karen.
Hey, do you remember... Probably not. We don't remember much of what we do on the show. But you remember a few days ago, we got an email or somehow we mentioned Ian in Wisconsin on the show. And you mentioned,
Superior.
I think, Superior, Wisconsin. And you said you thought he was a mailman, and I agreed. He said...
Like mailman / city council person or something?
Well, I think this is where the problem comes in. He says, hey, this is Ian from Superior, Wisconsin. Graham is the mailman, not me, Ian. I think we met them both together, right?
Ian actually steals... Amazon packages off of porches for right. a living.
It's such a weird friendship.
It's so odd. It's like diametrically opposed goals, and yet somehow they make it work.
But they just
love to see.
They just clock in and clock out at the beginning and end of each day,
that's
like the
right.
wolves and the sheep.
Love it.
And then they get together and they come to TBTL gatherings and LiveWire gatherings after
yep.
LiveWire. So anyway, he says, so that's Ian from Superior.
Okay.
I'm sorry, this is Ian, but it's yeah. Graham who's the mailman. Coincidentally,
okay.
as I send this on the 12th,
yeah.
it's Graham's birthday.
Aww.
Happy Blursday, Graham, from Ian, the non-mailman and possibly porch pirate, which is a term I hate.
I know. Oh. I have a real problem with porch pirate, but it's but I've analyzed it. There's really nothing terrible about it, but it just feels adjacent to something
exactly.
we should not be saying.
Yeah, it does, and it's weird. And also, I think part of it, there's that for me, which I'm not proud of, the association of a very crude thing that kids used to say. But also, I think I also associate it with the kind of cheap ass news coverage
news.
That I'm sometimes a part of on Cairo, and because they really want to whip up this idea that, oh, there's all these pirates trying to steal your packages, which it is a real thing as
yeah,
we rely on Amazon more and more. It is a real
and
thing.
And honestly, every time I walk past a house with Rudy and there's a package, I have to make myself not steal it. I'm half joking.
It is a real thing, but I also think that it's in like local TV news'
yes.
Benefit to give it a nickname like that and really kind of emphasize
it's the new,
what a scourge it is.
It's the new
scourge.
Yeah, somewhere in between. Yeah, scourge.
Scourge.
Scourge, scourge. It's the new,
okay,
like,
boomer.
What's in your children's... asking for a friend. I mean, not really, but wouldn't it be weird if I did? It's the new, like, what's in your kids' vitamins could be killing them more at 11.
Yeah.
It's like the new... It's because we're all getting, you know, deliveries from various companies, primarily Amazon, and so it's relatable, but it's a very... You know, it's a relatable experience to people that might be watching the local TV news.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, okay, so that is from Ian, the porch pirate, to Graham. Let's just reset here. I'll cut all that out. Last Blursday for today. It's a shorty.
What?
Shorty Blursdays.
Okay.
Sarah says, happy. Oh, I wish I had my regular computer because I don't have this drop, but she says... Sarah says, a very happy rip-diddle-dip-dip-dip-dip, it's your Blursday message to my TBTL BFF Cassandra in
Aww.
Victoria, BC.
Cool.
Whose Blursday is Sunday. Missing you and that magical island.
I'm so sorry that we don't have rip-diddle-dip-dip-dip, but please accept.
That's pretty good.
Instead, I would say that's, you know, pretty close. It is funny, and I'm sure we've commented on this before, but that... Rip did a lip dip dip is also Tim and Eric.
Yes,
I mean,
I know.
Although the right way to rock, well, right way to rock, that part of it is also Tim and Eric. And then as we get into the more extended part of the bass, Groove, that's just Tim.
That's
right?
just
that's
yeah.
Just, just
I
Heidecker.
Think as the character Decker, maybe. I think we do. Let's see. Do we have a? Hey. So
that's
I got a minute of this.
By the way, hey, you know,
all right. Oh my God, we are pushing
that
the boundaries.
Is a, someone's
going to
snag that tape. That just, you just heard a live, on-air, real-time mashup. I mean, that's one of a kind. Put that on TikTok.
That's why we need to do the show in person more
I know,
often.
Honestly,
I
there's
love
a dynamism.
It. There is, and there's also no delay on the line.
I know, that kills me because
yeah.
I like to sing along. One of the questions yesterday with Christina Lopez about, I don't know, just kind of figuring out our personality types and our compatibility was last time you've, you know, sung. I still sing on this show way too much, probably for the liking of the listeners. I guess they're lucky that I'm usually in Bellingham and you're in Seattle and there is a delay because that actually keeps it down.
From
for
you
me.
Just jumping on the track?
Because I would be singing, like, any song that you play that I know, I would be singing along with
right.
it just by out of habit. But I know that it's very annoying because I'm about a second behind when I'm up there.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it with the delay, but if we were in person, I don't think that would be the worst thing for the show. Hey, can I read, do you want to play the email sounder or...
Rip-diddle-lip-dip-dip-dip, it's an email.
Every week, I'm so sorry I
laughed over that.
Oh, man.
I think it's probably
not
fine.
Not from a female.
I'm also glad that I asked you to play the drop just so that I could talk over it the whole time. This is an email that we promised to read the other day that is interesting. This is from a pilot listener we have.
Oh, right.
Gary is his name. He's currently a Gig Harbor 10.
Oh, cool. Hey, what's up, Gary?
Formerly a Wiesbaden 10. Where's that?
I know this Gary. Yeah, that Wiesbaden. That was
Wiesbaden.
In Germany. These are the champagne sabers.
Oh, the sabers. He was a Tokyo 10 for a while and a Denver 10, or
hey,
as we say,
up?
A Tenverite, if you've read the Denver dossier.
Yes, and I have. And by the way, I don't care what the Trump administration tries to tell you. I believe what is in the Tenver dossier.
Well, yeah, I mean, the funny thing about the Tenver dossier is it was actually commissioned by conservatives.
And that's
first.
The thing you need to remember.
Right, yeah. Okay, so as a commercial so this is addressing something you brought up on the show, Luke, and since I was not at all familiar with this
phenomenon. Nor will I be on my flight home because I'm definitely not getting up.
What you were seeing?
Because of having the good fortune to sometimes weasel my way into first class, what I've noticed is a lot of the flight, a surprising, let's say the flight is 4 hours. It feels like about an hour of the flight, there is a flight attendant that's just standing there blocking entry to the whole front of the plane where the galley is and where the bathroom is and, of course, the cockpit. And the reason I've noticed is because sometimes I kind of have to go to the bathroom and I can't go because they're blocking it. And then they'll be done. I'll go do my thing. And then it'll be what seems like not that much longer later. And I'll have to go to the bathroom again and I'll look up and they'll be blocking it again.
And they're blocking just with their bodies, just standing there.
Just their bodies. Yeah. But there's very sort of like clear what they're doing. And they're blocking it because one of the pilots is using the restroom. And maybe it's just like maybe one or two times I've had to really pee. So it's like, time is sort of relative. And I've been like, why is this taking so long? And it just struck me that it seems like it's happening a lot. Also, my theory was maybe it's also a chance for the pilots to stretch their legs. There are two pilots. So unless they both go to the bathroom at the same time or like, unless their bladders are synced up, it's possible that it's one pilot. And then 20 minutes later, the other pilot feels the urge, the call of nature.
My theory is that they're tampering with the smoke detector in there.
Tampering, disabling.
Which is a federal offense. No, actually, what you just said, though, Luke, is right on the money. Gary says, as a commercial pilot who flies for the other big airline in Seattle, I assume he's talking... does he not want me to say it? I assume
probably
we're talking
means
the
Delta.
D word here, yeah. I wanted to explain...
D-word sounds so much worse.
I wanted to explain why the flight attendants usually are blocking the bathroom for so long. One, this is a bulleted list. We both usually go to the bathroom separately, of course, but it sounds like they kind of both go at the same time or one right after the other because getting the flight attendants in place takes so much time away from the passengers that we take advantage of the opportunity, which will probably only happen once during the flight. Mm. So they are kind of sinking their bladders a little bit to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe I was on a flight where there was just a pilot that had dysentery.
Yeah. That's point number three. We all have dysentery. Number two, since we leave the flight deck, AAA regulations require that the pilot left on the flight deck has an oxygen mask in the rare case that the plane loses pressurization.
I'm going to assume that flight deck means the cockpit, what I call the cockpit.
I think so. That's
I don't
what
know if I, Gary knows it's called the cockpit.
I've been assuming that, it didn't even occur to me.
I feel bad correcting him on the air, but Gary,
yeah, Gary
I think you're thinking of the cockpit.
I'll learn the lingo, my guy.
Yep.
Since we leave the flight deck, FAA regulations require that the pilot left on the flight deck has an oxygen mask for in case the plane loses pressure. So that takes an extra minute or two to set up. We also have to be fully buckled in and then briefed on anything we missed while we were in the bathroom upon our return.
Oh, wow.
Then the other pilot can go out. So there, that again, we're getting... See, this is
fascinating.
Very interesting, right?
Yes.
The 737, which Alaska mostly flies, has a smaller flight deck and front galley, so shuffling the people is a tricky dance as one flight attendant has to stay with the other pilot on the flight deck. That was number two.
Oh, right, because, and this kind of gets, unfortunately, to a little bit of a dark place, but there was a situation, I want to say, in Germany, it was in Europe somewhere, where quite unfortunately, a plane went down, and they could not figure out why. And it was, I believe, because one of the pilots had been left alone and had, you know, taken the plane down. Oh. So there's a lot of rules around.
I forgot about
that. They don't ever want it. I think it's probably the rule is that it can never just be one person in the flight deck, lest that one person kind of lose their marbles. So that makes a lot of sense, all of that stuff. And, you know, it's good, too. You'd hope that Gary was getting briefed on what he missed while he was in the loo or his co-pilot or whatever. So that all makes sense. It's all, you know, and I regretted that tweet even when I sent it, because it was, A, as now newly re-famous trivia master Ken Jennings said on Twitter, we get it, you flying first class. First of all, it's not a good look because it's indicating I'm probably near the front of the plane, too. It's like the firstest of first world problems. I don't even know what I'm punching, but it ain't down.
You're punching the sky.
The sky. Well, that would be a decent show title.
Number three, this is also a good time for us to get another cup of coffee, snacks, or possibly our meal. So we usually do all of it at the same time. We don't like opening the flight deck door any more than we have to. So they're trying to be efficient about it.
I know they are.
And then number four.
How much time is taken up with Gary composing this email?
No, I like this, though. Number four.
Did they close the flight deck while this was happening?
This is intriguing. There are a couple of other things that we must do that I can't discuss openly.
Whoa.
That are procedures that ensure the safety and that also take some extra time.
Oh my God. Sharpening the axe.
Dude, yeah.
The flight deck axe.
Yep. I thought it was going to be more bathroom related, and that's why I can't get into details.
No, I think they have a grinding wheel. Mm-hmm.
And it's in the bathroom. It's behind the smoke detector.
Yeah.
That's why they don't want you messing with it.
That's right. Tampering, disabling, or
touching the axe.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Gary, for checking in. First of all, nice to hear from you. Love that whole crew. I don't mean the flight crew. I mean Gary, his wife, and the various friends of the show who have been for years. The Wiesbaden Tens were so great.
Mm-hmm. One of whom we met in Florida recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Alicia?
Why do you try?
Why did I go down that road? We had a really nice time. I apologize.
We did. No.
I'm the Jim Moore of this show. And whenever that... And I, by the way, I like Jim Moore. I don't mean that as a jerk, but there's a sports radio show that we listen to. And there's one guy who his whole character is that he's always a little bit behind everybody else. And everybody's just kind of frustrated with him all the time. And I feel like I'm slipping more and more into being the Jim Moore of TBTL, which is, nobody grows up saying, I want to be the Jim Moore of TBTL when I grow up.
But here's the thing. When I said that, why do you try? That sounded dismissive, like I was like, why do you try when you're not going to remember? Actually, my point is, you give yourself so much grief about a thing that no one else is really giving you grief about or judging you on. Like, in fact, we were talking about this yesterday, I think maybe with Christina or somebody. Here I am forgetting. And it was on the subject of... Oh, you know, it was Brandon. We were walking into a get-together, and we were just kind of double-checking on a few of the names of some new folks we'd met to make sure we were doing it right. And then we sort of got into a brief conversation about, in this line of work, you and I meet a lot of people, and it can be challenging to remember everybody's name. I don't think anyone judges us when we don't, but I think you judge yourself sort of harshly. So that's
like at a get together or when we're referring to listeners.
But even on the air, like if you refer, we joke about having no listeners. We have enough listeners that to remember each and every one of their names would be we would be the Jeopardy goat if we could do that.
Right. Yeah,
and so anyway, I just want to clarify that when I said, why do you even try? It wasn't like, why do you even try? You're just going to forget. It was like, why do you even try? You're going to be mad at yourself.
Why would I paint myself into that corner? But I don't know, because I just remembered meeting her and it was a good time. Sometimes you just start down these roads and you realize you don't know exactly how they're going to end. But I think it's Alicia or Alicia. Either way, you know who you are. We had a lovely time together. Thanks for hanging out.
Absolutely. And thank you for making that Bart Simpson song.
Yes.
I've been thinking about that song, by the way.
The mashup version?
Yes.
It's so good.
It was... it was an earworm for me for a few days just because of how good it was. So good.
Does it make you also like the Crazy Town song, Butterfly, more?
Well, you know what? That's why it came back into my head, because that song, Butterfly, was playing in the Lyft, or I should say the Uber, that I took from the airport when the very annoying Green Bay Packers fan who thinks that Aaron Rodgers is regularly losing games on purpose... That song was playing on the radio.
Oh,
and
I
was like, you know, this is a good song. I mean, I don't know. How do you define good? This song has some qualities that I appreciate.
Yeah, that we were more dismissive of when it was a new
song. Exactly. Like, it would be, I mean, this is, we're now, it's time to wrap the show up. We don't need to get into this, but, and we don't need to relitigate what we argued about in Australia regarding that David Berman song. But no, it's like, I don't know, like, when I heard that Crazy Town song the first time, I probably thought, what a piece of shit music this is. And now I'm like, no, it has me tapping my feet. I kind of like it. Like, I mean, what makes it a worse song than a song that I like by Pavement?
Right. But I do think, and this is something that I've said before on the show a lot, I just think that you and I are just, we've gotten to an age where, associating with a song isn't as scary to us because it doesn't necessarily... We're not using music in a way that is going to telegraph to the world. Is telegraph the word I'm looking for? That is going to like kind mm-hmm. of say to the world what we think our personalities are and what group we belong in.
Very much so. I think, yeah, exactly what you said. In my younger days, it was a big statement about me, the music I liked. But I also just mean, like, objectively, and we are literally just going back to that conversation. I think I'm actually arguing the other side now, mm-hmm. which is I don't think that there's a way to – I don't know if anybody can make a really strong argument to me as to why that song is worse than some other song that I like is a cool song. And not just because of whatever it represents about me, but like, I don't know, man, if a song kind of gives you a good feeling. And again, maybe it's just all this music I'm listening to from TikTok that then burbles up into my Apple Gym flow. That's the other thing I figured out.
Mm.
I have this constantly updating workout playlist that some person at Apple Music is plugging songs in to, and it's all I hear that I'm like jogging and I'm like, oh, this is from TikTok. It's just
mm-hmm.
basically anything that DaBaby or Drake put out is huge. But anyway, all of that music, I find myself enjoying it, even though a lot of it is the lyrics could be dumb. I am still trying to not lean hard into the music that really demeans women.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm 100% on that, but I have sort of I've tried to stick with that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't know. I'm just in this weird place where I really do feel like, hey, if I like a song, I like a song. Or if someone likes a song, they like a song.
At some point, we should go over our gym music mixes because I have a playlist called Gym. I used to have this a long time ago when I was going to the gym a lot, and it was one of those things where whenever I heard an upbeat song, I would just add to it.
Yeah.
You know, you add to it, and it eventually becomes very big. I deleted that playlist at some point. I don't know if it was accidentally or if it was just me saying, Andrew, you're never going to the gym again.
Oh.
No, I don't know why I deleted it, but now that I've been going back to the gym and I'm spending some time on that elliptical, I need my playlist back, so I've started over, but it originally, like, I just started with a bunch of Kanye songs because, like, my number one workout song is Monster by Kanye.
That's a good workout song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, of course, that's got Nicki on it. I mean, that's the best part. It's got a very unfortunate
Jay-Z.
Verse by Jay-Z,
it's got a very fortunate verse.
I mean,
that is
Nicki.
The most OK Boomer moment of hip-hop that I can remember in a long time. And I like Jay-Z, and I his earlier stuff I really, really, really liked, but... Man, that song, when Jay-Z jumps in, you're just like, one person is not getting the vibe.
The only worst verse by him is on, I want to say, Drunk. Is it the Drunken Love?
Uh-huh.
He jumps in on a Beyonce song, and it was just widely mocked and rightly so. Anyway, so right now my gym playlist is like kind of like a bunch of things that kind of come out of that Kanye tree. Like, okay, then, oh, yeah, that's right. That reminded me of a Biggie and Jay-Z track that I really like called Brooklyn's Finest and like whatever. But like right now, it's all very much of the same. It's like a bunch of artists who are all of kind of the same generation who are all, you know, doing verses on each other's tracks. But I'm trying to like get it to grow. But anyway.
So I'm just going to list these because if we play them, we would definitely lose our whatever FCC license we have. Vibes by DaBaby. That's a club banger. Life is Good by Future featuring Drake. Money in the Grave by Drake, which is, look, I'm a white guy, so I don't want to weigh in on how, quote-unquote, legit Drake is, but it is funny to me when I hear Drake rapping about all of the drugs and money he's moving and all the bodies he's dropping, and I'm like, weren't you on Degrassi?
Right, yeah, boy.
Like, I mean,
sounds like things are rough in Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, Drake is a genius, I think, at producing and rapping and like making songs that are good to listen to.
And wearing all kinds of sports jerseys and having no loyalty.
And certain sweaters.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Like, but it is funny when I hear him rapping about his incredibly, I guess you could say, gangster lifestyle. But then I went, this is a whole journey I went on the my jog today. It was like, well, the Beach Boys didn't surf.
Didn't they?
No, that's like the famous.
Never surfed.
We're not surfers.
Oh.
They just sang about the lifestyle. And I'm, you know, if there was a country music, like there's an argument that Drake is not rapping from his experience, but he is describing an experience that some people, I bet a smaller list than we would think, can relate to.
Yeah, right.
I mean, most of the people, 99% of the people listening to Drake have not done any of the things that Drake is talking about, including Drake.
Right.
But it's like this idea of it's like you're telling a tale. You're mythologizing a thing. And it doesn't mean you have to, like, you could sing a sea shanty. It doesn't mean you had to be in a ship that went down to the briny depths.
This is getting, I'm looking at my playlist here, and this is, for some reason, what you just said. I'm going to take the show to this place, and I don't know why.
Let's
but
do it.
Two of the
and
songs.
I'm going to talk about the Futsal Shuffle 2020 by Lil Uzi Vert. Also a banger.
I've told you before, I don't like songs that, and this is just true across every genre, and it just is. It just makes me sound like such a dork, but like there's a certain kind of song that is so sexually explicit that I don't like to listen to it. And it's not even about, it's not even about often me being prudish. I think sometimes it's just, it's so on the money that it's not even clever.
Sure.
And it's just like, oh man. And just so kind of ham fisted. But I have two songs on here, and these are the only two songs I know that are like this, in which they're from a female rapper. In this case, Missy Elliott and Nicki Minaj both have these songs. They came out like a decade apart. And they have guests on the track, and the whole point of the track is the guests rapping about having sex with the main rapper or wanting to have sex with the main rapper. So
what's the Missy song?
Is Irresistible Delicious. It's Missy Elliott. You would love this song so much. It's off of the cookbook. And it's got Slick Rick on it. And
oh,
she makes it's one of my
boy.
Favorite songs ever. And she's making a bunch of references to old Slick Rick songs,
oh,
which
what?
You, if how I would say
this,
it now, you would get
how did
this
it. Slick Rick escape my radar?
Dude, the cookbook is one of the best hip-hop records. It is
making
so damn
note.
Good, and it's so underrated. But anyway, Irresistibly Delicious is all about Slick Rick talking about all the different ways that he wants to get with Missy Elliott. And Missy Elliott, I think, returning the sentiment. But then the other one is Nicki Minaj, which is just such a good song. And this used to be played on the radio all the time in LA with a lot of edits called Only. And you got Drake and Lil Wayne on that. And it's just like the first track is by Nicki. I can't remember exactly what hers is about. And then you got Drake just talking about like the very first line of the next two verses is like, I've never bleeped Nicki, but if I did, this is how it would go down. And then Lil Wayne comes in with his version of it too. And to me,
I can tell you how it would go down. There would be an NDA sign, and all of the and the
yes,
cell phones would be.
Right.
Have you heard that about Drake?
No, I did not.
I'm not trying to take this to any kind of inappropriate place, but famously, there was a lot of real evidence on the internet that, you know, Drake and his friends, if they had gone out and having a fun time and they met up with some young ladies, if you ended up back at Drake's house, the first thing that happened, regardless of let's just say whatever was going to maybe happen at the house, maybe you just get together and do some VR and pretend you're a bird like we do at Camaro Kev's
house. Exactly.
Everyone's,
is that why he had me sign that?
Everyone's cell phone is immediately confiscated, wisely.
Yeah.
Like everyone who's visiting. Yeah. I'm sure Drake is still allowed to have his phone.
Yeah.
And everyone signs an NDA. Before you enter Drake's house,
it's funny. I can see. I have this
and
is the
makes
first time
sense.
Hearing about it. It makes sense to a degree. I don't know if it makes if it means though that, and I don't think anybody's accusing Drake of doing anything improper.
That was not the, that yeah. wasn't the, that wasn't the point of the article
yeah.
at all. It was just.
But if you had somebody out there who was doing things improper to young women or people who are less protected, then that becomes that could have a more sinister vibe to it, right?
Yeah, I don't think that was the. I don't think that was the point of this at all.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
it was just kind of like the world we live in and how much. You know, sort of how, you know, back to the TikTok thing, how easily we can disseminate information to millions of people and how famous like Drake is. That
right.
if Drake was just drunk in his house and you were videotaping him.
Right, right.
And he said something that was, you know, problematic or whatever, or just who knows. It's just dangerous for Drake to have people in his house with cell phones who are not, like, you know, who he doesn't know.
Right, right, right. Now, I want to just jump back because I gave that huge setup to those two songs. And the reason I bring it up is because I listen to these songs. They're both really good songs. But I also am just fascinated by, like, what is the working relationship like? I just can't get my head around it. Like, what is it like to be in an industry where you're like, hey, colleague, would you like to do a song with me? Yes, I enjoy your music too. Okay, it's going to be a really graphic song about what it would be like if we were doing it all the time. Or the whole basis is that you're trying to get me in bed, or we're trying to get each other in bed. And then at the end of the day, you just, like, kind of shake hands and go home to your significant others who are very famous. You know, it's just so weird.
Is Meek Mill mad about this song right now? It's, you know, think of it, a baby, it's cold outside, but updated.
Right,
but equally
sure,
pushy.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Oh my gosh. So which one of those songs are we going out with?
Probably a mashup of Only and Irresistibly Delicious.
Known as Words. You know what's weird is when you play those two songs together, they sound like Words by Doves.
Exactly like Words by Doves. No, can I play... can I actually play something off of this? Do you mind?
I mean, no. I mean, I've... if you... if you've got... a song that we can play, I encourage it.
I have played this for you before. I think it was a music for your weekend a long time ago. It's a great song by Nicki Minaj called Four Door Avon. I can never say the name of the car. Avondentor?
I've never even heard of that car.
It's such a good song. I can't find the clean version right now, so I will have to probably clean this up and post a little bit. So it probably is filthy, but I'll do some
beeping.
If
this song is about what you want to do to me, Andrew, I want you to know I did not sign off on that.
That'll be tomorrow's show. So anyway, yeah, take a listen to this song. You're going to love it so much.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio for you. Till then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Penny, more for you, boy,
hit me on the celly, watching Belly, Godson, I could see they study Machiavelli, peanut butter pins, got them jelly at the deli, if you feeling like a ninja, I got a machete, hell yeah, them girls bad, but I'm Nick up heavy, I'm a friend with up to have them looking like spaghetti, I say some shit, he be like, yo, you so legendary, but he could tell just by my face, he ain't getting any,
Penny more for you, boy, we in the funky four door. Floor. He was setting that roll, oh boy, she was making that noise, oh boy. Penny more for you, boy, we in the funky four door, no floor. He was setting that roll, oh boy, she was making that noise, oh boy.
Meet me at the Rucker, take the Bruckner, it's just me and young Yucca, take the sucker.
Power out.